Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
It's the Great Space Coaster. Get on board on the Great Space Coaster. We'll explore a comet ride, a fantasy, to a place where dreams lie fast and free.
With new friends and new things to see.
We'll spin you through the galaxy. On the Great Space Coaster. Oh, on the Great Space Coaster. Off we go.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite podcast show with people doing talking. I don't even know why Chan is muttering underneath me. He's the one who botched this intro to begin with, and he's trying to botch it further, but it's too bad. Take the L, Chan. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
Chan, you have become the old man in the library that's just like everything used to be. The books used to be better organized. What's happening to the Dewey Decimal System? While everyone's like, what? Is this guy talking to me? Or is he just talking to himself? Is he just grumpily talking to himself?
I mean, I've always been that guy. I've always been muttering to myself. Only now I've reached an age where it totally makes sense. You're like, oh, now I get what your thing is.
Yeah, but what were you doing the last, 25 years?
More of the same. That's people think that folks are like an overnight story in Hollywood. Like, oh my God, look, they just burst onto the scene and became a big star. I'm like, no, man, I've been grinding at this. I've been grinding at being a weird old dude for decades.
That's fair.
Finally, people are like respecting the game.
Well, all right, sure. Why not? Who are you people?
I tried to say my name and Gina jumped in with her witticisms or whatever.
Technically, you just introduced me.
Damn it.
You said I'm Gina, so you're the only one that no one will know.
And I said, suck it, Chan, earlier, I think. So I think we're good.
Oh, all right. Well, we're like a well-oiled machine over here, I guess.
We're well-oiled something. We watched a show. Now, last week we did HR Puff and Stuff. A generally delightful program, I think I would say. Mm-hmm. This week, in the same vein, because we hit this little in mining, you hit a vein, so you just keep mining it. So we're going. I think I actually used that correctly, and I'm very excited.
Did you say mining a vein? Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Congratulations!
I played Skyrim, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, Great Space Coaster. That's from the same crew. Am I correct?
It is not.
You are wrong and clearly did not even the bare minimum of work
did
here.
Not even open your eyes, because as soon as it started going, I was like, dude, this is not Muppets, but it is real Muppet adjacent.
There is some point where it clearly says brought to you by Hasbro. Like there's a lot. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Wait a minute. Don't you drag my ass into this.
Festivus time, everybody. Let's do this.
Wow, Ray.
I'm nailing it. This all, speaking of good job, I have one again. I think that's what it is. I'm just, I'm more lucid. The series
was co-created by Kermit Love, who was an original Muppet designer and a builder for Jim Henson.
Yeah.
And Jim Martin, who went on to do some Henson stuff like Sesame Street.
So oh, okay.
I guess he learned it. Learned how to Sesame before he Sesame.
It was basically Muppets dudes and Hasbro being brought together. So I was excited. I'm not going to say what my final word is, because I know that Chan will just be a contrarian.
Look, I'm going to jump right out of the gate and let y'all know. When we did the one last week, was not expecting to like it. And I'm not going to say that I liked it, but I was real comfortable with it in a way that I was weirded
last
out by.
Last week. What the hell's going on?
But Chan, you also just discovered like Percocet.
Yeah. Well, look, the two may be in some way related. I'm not going to say they're not.
Okay.
And this one I actually saw when I was a kid. I used to watch. It was one of those where, like, I think I only got to watch like the first 5 minutes of every episode before I had to like go to school or something like that. Because like I remember that theme song just crystal clear. And
you're talking about tonight's episode or last week's?
No, this one, The Great Space Coaster.
Oh, so you're saying you liked this one more than you thought you would?
I also like this one more than I thought I would.
I'm not gonna lie, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was a perfect mix of like wacky and like creative, and there was enough smart stuff in there that I was like, wow, this is clever. Like, not even just like clever for a kid's cartoon, but like there's an animation sequence in here that I found very cool.
Well, I mean, that's just like farmed out shit. Like, that's,
you know, it's still in the show.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's we learned about that in when we did, I think, Pinwheel on the show, how like 50% of the show was just farmed out cartoons from other countries that don't have any language spoken in them.
Nope. Not,
which is all this was. So
smart move.
I'm going to hold back my final verdict.
Because you want to be the contrarian.
Well, two have already gone on the record. I could be a contrarian right now.
I just want to do it for the ratings. Otherwise, you would say, I enjoyed this, but you think it makes for better algorithm if we don't all agree.
Hey, it's sweeps weeks, baby. We got to do what we got to do. Get them ratings. We
gotta get them. I'm not wearing any pants?
Yes, Gina. We've been over this before. And that's why I am wearing pants.
Yeah.
It's for the record. Well, this is Great Space Coaster, episode 73. Did I read that correctly? Wow. So at first, when the intro, because here's the deal. I ended up realizing I absolutely must have watched this show because a ton of it was very familiar.
Yeah. But
when it started up, I didn't know what I was getting into. So at first I thought it was a cartoon, just completely, because the whole intro is animated. Making me think it's an animated show. And I was like,
said for the next 3 weeks, we're doing these giant mascot character type shows.
I can't express how annoyed I am that you don't even just do a basic Google search of this
show. I like going in blind. I don't want to be biased in some way.
But afterwards.
Yeah. I'm saying while you're like waiting to start the show, or even in the 30 seconds while we're just bullshitting, you literally could just Google it and read two sentences on Wikipedia.
But you guys are going to do that. So why would I want? I got to counter program. I got to be zany.
Are you under the impression that if you learn anything new in your life, your brain will be full?
I would argue that you will seldom find a less concerned person than me with having a full brain. I've leaked out so much of it already.
I'm shocked that you're the only white guy on here and you have no desire to learn new things.
I'll be honest, you know, with my new job, with my new position, I'm being asked to learn a lot of new things. So when it comes to having to learn some of this programming stuff, some of this automation stuff, a whole bunch of games I've never played before, and The Great Space Coaster, I'm sorry to tell you, what's going to fall at the end of the list is The Great Space Coaster.
Get this. Ray is exhausted by playing
Fortnite.
It's Fortnite for 6 hours.
Are you actually gonna air my laundry on the show, Chan?
This is what's exhausting Ray, in case anyone's wondering.
Yes. I've had to play like entire days worth of Fortnite to get up to speed so that I can appropriately work around that game. And I have to do this with 5 different games. So I just started with Fortnite because it was bright and colorful. Is that so wrong?
You live such a hard life.
It's a hard knock life for me. I told you, Chan, fail upwards.
I wish I could. Anyway, this song.
Let's hear it.
It's the Great Space Coaster. Get on board on the Great Space Coaster. We'll explore a common ride of fantasy.
Okay, we got some like sort of
I like it. 70s,
early
80s. I like it.
Yeah, I was humming it around my apartment after I watched it.
Here's the thing, though, and I do want to make sure that we get this in. You got this, you know, you start with a chorus, you go a verse, na 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 na. Then comes this motherfucking breakdown.
Oh, on the Great Space Coaster, off we go.
Get on board, step inside, so wait for a magic ride.
Roaring toward the other side, where only rainbows hide.
Look, they go to halftime, and I feel like I'm in a fucking mosh pit. I'm just ready to throw down, and I'm into it.
Yeah. You never know when halfway through the Great Space Coaster theme song, you've got to attack the Death Star. Mm-hmm. That was incredible.
Yeah.
I am a fan. We didn't really get a cold open for this. We got the intro, which at first I'm like, oh, it's an animated show. Cool. No, I don't remember things from moment to moment. Like the next last week, this week, and next week are all going to be large mascot puppet shows. Of course, I didn't remember that. Because I thought, oh, it's going to be live action. Then the theme song is all cartoon. What is a guy to think? Maybe Chan led us astray. It wouldn't be the first time.
That maybe the intro was animated?
I never liked that about sitcoms in the 70s and sometimes the 80s when you would have an animated cartoon intro and then it would just be a boring live action show like Bewitched. That stuff drove me crazy.
The fuck? Calling out
I don't want an animated
shows.
Intro for a show that's not animated, and I'm willing to throw down over it.
I mean, honestly, I go the other way and I'm like, oh shit, man, there's like an animated intro. And then after a minute, I'm like, oh, well, there's just people. I'm done. And then I'll walk away.
Imagine if The Simpsons had a live action intro and then you got an animated show afterwards. That
Wait,
would be
isn't
weird.
That what that shitty G.I. Joe did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes, they did. They gave us a live action intro. Yeah. Well,
it
was a live action
it.
Cold open.
It
was
I
a live
it.
Action cold open, but then an animated intro and then an animated show that I did like. I can't explain it. Don't
no
ask
love
me
to care, only emotion.
That's right. Speaking of emotion, we got opened up with, and this is a wild thing because I'm getting my bearings still. This is like episode 73, so I guess the people, you know what we say, Chan? Every episode is going to be someone's first time.
Do we say that?
We do say that a lot.
Man, I should really introduce myself.
I think Ray says it. I think the rest of us couldn't care less.
Oh, okay, that's
probably
sense.
True. Well, we open up with two puppets. A robot elephant, large-sized, like, walking man puppet, and a weird, looking like animal, but with different fur.
I love this animal thing.
From the Muppets puppet.
I was trying to figure out what kind of monkey that was supposed to be.
Oh, he's a monkey?
It's sort of like a man. His name is fucking Gorilla Gorilla, Gina.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But he doesn't look like, he looks nothing he not like a gorilla.
Yeah, he's a gorilla, Chan. Hello. I mean, it's right there in his name.
He's not a mandrill. He's not a baboon.
Bonobus?
I feel like there is a monkey that has like kind of similar facial markings, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
The reason why I said, speaking of emotion, is that compared to H.R. Puffin stuff last week, even the large scale man-sized puppet, these two puppets emoted like so much better, like real emoting from the puppets that we did not get last week. So immediately I made a note of it because I was very excited because these are the kind of puppets I can get into.
Yeah, because as soon as you get Henson even tangentially involved, like they touched the hem of his garment and walked away better.
I think last week's was like they're more freaky. They're more sort of like, hey, if you're a teenager on drugs, this will do some things to your mind. Yeah, this week it was like pretty pure Henson. I don't think the elephant looked Henson, but this monkey thing looks very Henson-y.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, the voice, why it feels Henson-y.
Because it was Jim Henson.
Of course, you looked it up, so you know who voiced
Jim Henson. Everybody knows that.
I think he Dwight actually Henson. Does think it was Jim Henson.
Is it Brian Henson?
I hope he does. Brian Henson, I think, was like 4 at the time.
Wow. So maybe he really...
it must be less because...
Timelines match up, Chan. He was in,
wasn't he in Labyrinth? Isn't the baby in Labyrinth?
No, that was the like the creator's kid.
Was it Brian Froud's kid or something?
Yeah, it was like let me see. It's like the showrunner, but the
but also Brian Henson was way too young.
Interesting.
Played Clash. By Toby Froude.
Do you know who Kevin Clash is, Ray?
Kevin Clash obviously is the creator of Clash of Clans, sweet, the famed mobile game, and then went on to voice Elmo on Sesame Street.
I can't tell if you managed to Google that in that time, and if you did, good on you.
One I knew. I had to do a bit. It's a show, Chan.
Can't tell. Cannot tell.
That means that my bits are working.
This show went from 1985 to 1986 for 5 seasons.
No, 5 seasons isn't the number that you want to hit on. 250 MFing episodes.
To be fair, half of it is just stuff they bought. So
who cares, Ray? Who cares? Stop disparaging this delightful show. If you're a kid,
tell me
you
how
don't
many
care.
Episodes of America's Funniest Home Videos they made. Oh, so impressive.
That is impressive.
Honestly, it is.
It is a little bit. All right, fine. The biggest note I wrote here in all capital letters about a minute into the episode is no laugh track. I am so excited that this show got rid of the
laugh track from the very first second. What are you talking about?
No, it took them a minute to get into it, and I was excited because I heard jokes, but no laugh track. So they had a laugh track, but it didn't hit on every joke.
Yeah, because they have standards. And you're like, no, we're not going to put a laugh track on that. That's just like a witty bon mot. It is not a full-on
right.
joke.
HR Puffett stuff, they liked their laugh track on setup lines, punchlines, second after the punchline, the next setup line. Like, it was just constant. But here, it was a little bit more pulled back, but I really wish it wasn't there at all.
It is what it is.
I guess
60s, 70s, 80s. You're just going to have laugh tracks, and that's just...
That was, you know, the TV show Sledgehammer. I don't know. Chan, you know this show.
I am very familiar.
Gene, I don't know. Do you know Sledgehammer?
Peter Gabriel.
It is not Peter Gabriel.
Ray has only talked about it on the show like 1,400 times.
That would explain why I have blacked it out.
I wouldn't blame you, but Sledgehammer is one of my favorite shows, sitcoms. And one of the things that they did was it was a very avant-garde sitcom. I mean, it was a parody show. But they had a laugh track on the show. But when I bought the DVD set of, I think, season 1, the creator of Sledgehammer, like, appears before any of the episodes in a video. And it says, hi, everybody. And it says, hey, everybody. I just want you to know that I have intentionally removed the fucking laugh track from every episode of this show for this DVD set. Like, he drops an F-bomb in anger at the laugh track that the studio forced him into on the show. He says, I think you guys were smart enough then, and I think you're smart enough now to understand that this is supposed to be a comedy. And I just remember, like, this is like an unskippable video at the front end of the CD. Like, he really wanted us to know. And you know what? The show without a laugh track, 1,000 times better. Anyway, boo laugh tracks. Boo.
785 episodes. That's a lot. 34 seasons
of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's frankly too much.
Executive producer Vin DeBona is Vin DeBona on his way to the bank.
Yeah. Guys, stop filming yourself at this point. We're done.
Wait, was this really Vin DeBona?
What?
Who did this show?
No, I'm talking about America's Funniest Home Videos. Try and keep up, Gina.
Ray? Listen, I blacked out, I think. I woke up. I was still out of microphone in front of me.
It's not the first time, not the last time.
Yeah, that was me last week.
I appreciated them bringing some culture into this episode with the Toreador song from Carmen. Mm-hmm. Why is it Duvet? Is that his name?
You know it is not Duvet. And just for that, I am not going to pimp you out into talking about your dumb thing.
Which dumb thing? There are so many.
That's a good point.
The one that is Toreador related.
Oh, you're going to talk about the Toreador Vampire Clan from Reclaim Detroit. It's a wonderful show. You should probably go check it out.
Never heard of it.
It's amazing. So here's where I find out, yes, there is in fact a laugh track. And I was very upset about it. Didn't like it. Still don't like it. So the elephant is playing a record on a phonograph, a vinyl, if you will. Amazing that that still applies. Of all the technology that still exists in 2024 that the youth and the children would know about, records are the one thing that made it. Can anyone explain this to me?
I mean, space coasters. And honestly, SD cards. I'm just going to say SD cards.
Wait, you're asking why there are records in space?
No, I'm asking how we are, what is this, 40 years later? Almost all technology from that era has been gone for 20 years, but records are still a thing?
Oh, it's because
we don't even have CDs anymore.
No, but we specifically because we send records into space, and anything sent into space is bound to come back to Earth and survive.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? Yeah. All right.
Checks out.
Take it all back. Yeah. The Gorriddle the gorilla hates it. He says this opera is cheeks. It is not good. And this is when he says, maybe if you had more couth, you were not so uncouth. And he says, but I'm the most couth person you would find.
This is already a good bit.
I love this gorilla.
Yeah, this is a good bit. I mean, truly, it's a word not a lot of kids would get. So I enjoy it. I enjoy that also, they were like,
even before that, though.
Gorriddle, it's great music.
Yeah, it grates on you, all right.
I mean,
strong.
Dude, that's strong. Just funny.
That is, it's look, not, it made me laugh.
Yeah.
I am on board. So he says, well, you got to come up with an act. He goes, I've got an act. We're going to have this big talent show to win this trophy prize. It's a big deal to me. And he says, I'm going to do a high wire act. And the elephant says, but you hate heights. You're afraid of heights. He goes, well, that's not going to work then, is it? Why did I think that was going to work? And that's when Edison the elephant, it turns out the prize is a trophy with a bunch of peanuts in the top. And so he says, I want to win that for you, Edison.
That's a weirdly specific gift prize. First of all,
strange. But
again, I appreciate it.
A silver bowl? Sure. That's a thing people might want, put on your mantle or whatever. But the peanuts is weird.
I appreciate the specificity, man. There's humor and specificity.
I guess.
I honestly did laugh a little bit when he said that. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, the prize is what now? Yeah, okay, why not? You can get those at Five Guys. You just show up. Anyway, so Gorriddle the gorilla, not in a trophy. I'm going to bring a trophy next time I go to Five Guys. I'm loading that shit up and I'm singing Carmen right there in the Five Guys. No one can stop me. No one will get it. Anyway, he's going to sing the opera. He says, I'm going to sing the opera. He's like, you're not a singer. You're not going to sing the opera. And the gorilla says, I'll lip sync it. Excuse me. I'm going to Milli Vanilli this.
It was weird that he doesn't mention lip syncing for such a long time, to the point where I was like, wait a minute. Like, lip syncing existed, right? Like, as a term.
Yes.
We called it lip syncing, but he just like says, you play the thing and I'll move my mouth. I'm like, yeah, but we could just call it what it is, dude.
This does seem like a thing that's specifically for kids. Like, let them understand the concept first. And then say the actual word.
Oh, because, we have to teach
because the
children.
Other, because the other things were just like throwaway jokes. But this is like, if you don't get what's going on, you don't get the plot. So I think this was like them being like, yeah, let's really hammer it home that he's going to be pretending to sing it, moving his mouth, but not really sing it.
Well, and that's the thing. Even in, I remember as a kid doing lip sync shows, like in elementary school. Like, and this is where I got confused because I understand that they're portraying this as a shady business, but a lip sync act is still an act, though. Am I wrong? Like, you could still go in a talent show and legitimately, and they do address this later.
No, you've been poisoned by Jimmy Fallon
more than once. I'm right now. Do not accept an open container at Jimmy Fallon parties. You know what I'm saying?
I've read a couple things that
I was going to say, like, I thought you meant like, don't, be around Jimmy Fallon when he's got an umbrella. Otherwise, he's going to like poison you with polonium. Like
wait, are you saying he's a Russian asset with an umbrella laced with? That is so.
I mean, that would be the deepest cover. Specific. That would be the deepest cover. And truly, if the Russians really wanted to get us, that is what would get us.
Well, you've all seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, have you not?
No, I actually haven't.
Coolio
I like
song?
Sam Rockwell.
No, Confessions of a Dangerous, that's a George Clooney movie about the memoirs of a game show host from like the 70s or something
Chuck
like that.
Chuck Barris,
there you go.
We want to do an episode of The Gong Show. I am so into it.
I kind of would.
Chuck.
I kind of would.
Chuck, it's your cousin. Your cousin Marvin Barris.
No, Jesus. Different one.
Nope, I like it. One.
And there was a lot of confusion as a child for me personally, because people kept talking about Chuck Berry. I'm like, you mean the guy from Gong Show? Why would you?
But what's crazy about it, for the kids at home who don't know, they made a movie about this with George Clooney, who directed it. It's a really well-made movie. It's like live theater, but like as a movie. I don't know. I loved it. Very well. It's very creatively made. But the story is, he was just like a regular dude, game show host, had a life. And then in his memoirs, he said, by the way, I went overseas and murdered people for the CIA. Like, when we would give away trips to foreign countries on The Gong Show, I would accompany the people who won and use that as my cover for murder.
Can you imagine if fucking, like, Alex Trebek, like, went on your trip to Jamaica with you? Like, the fuck are you doing here,
That's
Alex?
Great. And nobody, and here's the deal, nobody can confirm or deny. The CIA refuses to comment on it, because, which leaves it completely wide open. Nobody knows if he's having a laugh or this is an actual thing that actually happened that he needed to get off his conscience before he passed away. It's amazing.
Wild gimmick.
I'm going to be right now. I'm doing it. I'm going to be 48, and I'm going to write my memoirs right before I go. And I'm going to say I replaced half the Supreme Court with robots.
I'm pretty sure that is objectively, demonstrably.
And then they start digging up Clarence Thomas just to see.
Just to see.
But he was a special robot. You can't tell the difference.
They're just like Cylons, okay? You can't tell. They can pass all the tests.
Man, that's
a great. Flip a turtle over and they won't even give a shit.
I got to watch the first three seasons of that again.
Watch the whole thing, man.
Yeah, it's all good.
Season 4, not as bad as people say it is. I will say that. The ending, definitely.
I love the ending. Been better.
I think he'll come around on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen it.
Years later, you'll come around on it, you know, having less baggage.
Is this like Napoleon Dynamite? I'm told you need to see it like 7 times and then it'll be good.
I've seen it 0 times, and I'm happy with that.
It's not very good. Anyway.
Great space.
Why not just watch 7 good movies instead? That's always my question. Like, why would I do that? I don't care enough about this property to watch it so many times to make me like it. That sounds like Stockholm Syndrome more than a movie critique.
I mean, Stockholm Syndrome's not the worst.
Anyway, let's go to commercial.
At least my kidnapper says so.
And we're back, but so did the show. Did you see what I did there?
No.
How exciting. Huh? They did an ad for Kellogg's. Remember when cereals had mascots? Fun times.
I'm familiar. I wasn't sure if this was like explicitly a Hasbro product, because they had, you know, like brought to you by, and just had this sort of sponsor thing. And it was the same with Hasbro and Kellogg's are in sort of the same slot.
Maybe they went halvesies on it.
Maybe.
And they, okay. So we're brought back to a totally different gimmick here. It's the same story though. So we have a bird puppet who is a ladybird, but played very much obviously by a guy doing a voice.
As
it was very much reminiscent of when the kids in the hall used to play women on their sketch comedy show.
No, but that's a whole Muppet thing. Like, Miss Piggy is a dude. Like,
she is?
Are we being serious right now?
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure that this is a gag.
It better be a gag.
I'm like,
80%. Anyway, big news here. The record player has a crank. They really play it up because this is going to be important later.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly a five-year-old probably won't see where this is going.
Yeah. Also, the records are breakable, which they also brought up as if it was going to be an important plot point, but that one doesn't come up later.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if there's a whole other subplot that
or maybe that was like an exec saying, is this going to make kids play with their parents' priceless records? And they were like, we'll add in a line about how they're easy to break.
There's your lesson for the day. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
This is an
educational been educated.
Show.
Shut up. So yeah, they ended up like, these are like plot landmines. Maybe we'll run into them. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This brings up the first act for this talent show. Apparently there's only two acts at the talent show, or we just see the last two and they happen to be sandbagging the best two at the end. But it's Gary Gnu, a character I absolutely know. A character, when he came out, I was like, oh shit, I know Gary Gnu. So obviously I did watch this show in the past because there's no Gnus like good Gnus.
This is a great, I'm not gonna lie, this is a great fucking bit.
It's a great bit, a great character. They do it a little bit too much, and I did not care. He wrote this song himself, and he's doing this bit. He's doing a bit where he's sort of like doing the thing before the recipe where they talk way too long about how they got to where they're going before they tell you to crack an egg in a bowl, right? And he's just going on, and finally the bird lady's like, Gary, get to the goddamn song already. And I'm howling with joy.
I like the fact that Gary seems like he's like the station manager's nephew, and this is how they placate him. They're like, fine, Gary, fine. You can do the news once a month.
I loved this character. I loved his cadence. I loved his performance. I liked his look. I liked his puppeteering. He is, what if a Muppet was hopped up on speed and they just let him go?
Here is something that I will very rarely say on this show.
I like to narrate TV Gnus. I think that's understood. Cause when I do the TV Gnus, there's no Gnus, and that's good. No Gnus is good Gnus. No Gnus is good Gnus. You ain't got any Gnus if you ain't got any Gnus.
That's a certified banger.
Yes.
I wrote right here, banger, ? I think probably.
I enjoyed it unironically, and I was real surprised because I'm like, oh, he's got a fucking ukulele, but they're playing a banjo. I don't know what this bullshit is. But like, okay.
I dug it. I dug this whole thing. I dug the. I really dig the look of this puppet, too.
Yeah, it's great. Everything about this character is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so well considered, and I just... Every time he was on screen, I was happy.
Also, it is a very good bit that because in the word, like when you're looking at the word, there's a G. And so he's just in front of every word with an N, putting a G and pronouncing it.
Yep.
It's Simple. A great bit.
I loved it. Just don't serve him any gnocchi because he'll get real confused.
No Gnocchi is good Gnocchi with Gary Gnu.
Good Gnocchi. I don't know. What do we? Anyway, one drawback of this song, it does go on for like 72 verses. It is a little long.
No. I did not mind it.
I did not mind it.
Minded when they played so much of Toreador. That's when I was like, dude, good short.
Not
get
great.
To the bit. Get to the thing where he's going to fuck it up and they'll discover it. But no, and then they had a fucking encore. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, let's do this. Okay, well, Gary crushes it, obviously. Did phenomenally. Yeah. And that's going to bring out the final act of the day, Gorriddle Gorilla, who's going to lip sync Carmen. Now, anyone who is fooled by this, thinking he's actually singing, quite honestly, you deserve to be fooled. You are a fool. You should be better. You can literally see him playing the record player in the background of the stage.
Also, where is his fucking orchestra?
Great point.
Gary Gnu brought his damn... I mean, granted, he also had like a backing track and like drums and stuff.
Don't worry about that.
No.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
It's the Mickey Mouse talking phone.
Hi, this is Mickey Mouse.
Mickey, come over for a party. You called down deaf. Okay.
With the Mickey Mouse talking phone, the battery is not included.
This is Donald Duck.
It's Donald. Come on over.
With the Mickey Mouse talking phone, you can call six different Disney characters.
Yup, you guessed it. I'm Goofy.
Hi, Goofy.
Mickey Mouse talking phone from Hasbro's preschool division.
Back to G.I. Joe.
Yeah, it's absurd. Just the absurdity of it. He's selling it, though. I'm going to say right now, Gorilla selling this bit.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he's fucking
on.
Tom Holland doing yeah, Umbrella right now.
Yeah. I was gonna say, sorry, my watch just went off. I was going to say, what's her name? Oh, God, my brain is not working.
Okay. This is when Gina, we finally see Gina's long, slow slide into senescence.
It's weird because I feel extra sharp today.
I was going to say Emma Stone.
That's a person. Yeah.
Yeah, her lip sync battle of Blues Traveler, which if you haven't seen, fucking fantastic.
I honestly haven't even seen the Tom Holland one, even though I've heard about it.
The Tom Holland one is so good. You need to watch both of those. The Tom Holland one is, I could watch it 800 times and I would still want more. Emma Stone does in case you're not a Blues Traveler song, if anyone is not familiar with the song The Hook, which is a great song, but there is a like white man rap in the middle that's basically like suck it in, suck it in, suck it in. If you're in Tintin or Anne Boleyn, make a desperate move unless you win, and then begin to see what you do to me. This MTV is not for free. This OPC is killing me.
What are you doing?
So desperately,
right now,
I sing to thee of love, and she does the whole thing so fast, and it is the audience is like in awe of her. She's the coolest human being alive after that.
It's like when Daniel Radcliffe does the alphabet one song from.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is truly. And she really, like, you can see veins popping out on her neck as if she's really belting it out. You really gotta.
I see.
I'm going to put it in the chat so that both you fuckers remember to watch it.
I've seen the Tom Holland one before. It's phenomenal. This one.
Oh, I see. You'll watch a man, but not a woman. Okay.
I mean, will she even do a good job? I mean, you know. It's all these. I got nothing.
Only going to do about 70% as good a job as Tom Holland. So why are we?
Well, it makes sense, given other aspects of our culture and business. I'm sure she's phenomenal. I have to watch it now because otherwise I'm a monster.
Yeah,
not just a guy making bad jokes. I'm a monster at that point. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, okay. So they're so impressed by this lip syncing of Carmen that they say, you just win outright. We're not hearing any other competitors. We're not listening to judges. They applauded. You win.
This would be my villain origin story. If I entered a talent competition and they did this.
It's enraging. I mean,
look, every musician the year that Milli Vanilli won the Grammys, most of them didn't become villains.
Yeah, but that's because they didn't know it in the moment. They found out afterwards.
Oh, and you said
by then it's not as raw. But imagine you work on something for weeks. You're doing your little talent. You're doing your kindergarten tap dance to Ball in the Jack.
Oh boy.
In your little leotard.
Oh, here comes the childhood trauma.
No, go on. Just get it off your chest.
In the middle of the dance.
Your therapist is fucking sick of it by now.
And in the middle of the dance, your tap shoe flies off.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And you only pause for a split second, and then you keep dancing. And afterwards, mom from the audience says, oh my God, Gina needs to be in show business because another kid would have started crying, but she knew the show must go on.
Yeah, that does sound like a villain origin story. And we're witnessing
I'm saying if someone then gave the award to the lip syncer after me and said, we're not even going to vote. The little girl who just kept powering through with her Ball in the Jack routine. We don't even get to vote on it. Then I would have killed everyone in that Rockaway Valley School auditorium.
I can understand that because at Ohio Northern University, not Battle a real of place. The bands, there was a little group called Attention Deficit Disorder.
Oh boy.
Fronted by one young Ray Stakanis.
I hate everything about this and I wish I could erase it from my brain.
And there were many great competitors. There were several bands that played, but that group, Attention Deficit Disorder, really played the show of their lives. And at the end of the day, won the battle of the bands that night. And I could understand anyone at all, perfectly understandable, if after losing to me singing, if you suddenly became a supervillain bent on causing as much pain as possible in this world.
I see.
We sang Spice Girls Wannabe and then followed it with Nine Inch Nails Head Like a Hole. That's how awesome we were.
Oh, I hate that I'm kind of into
that. You're into it. Don't act like you're not into it. Yeah.
Don't forget about this at all.
It was really good. It was amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about that because I forgot about it pretty much my entire life until Gina started telling her story. And I'm like, have I ever been in a talent show? Oh, yes. There was that one time. Anyway. They ask for an encore for Gorilla. At this point, I go, I'm out, and I leave because I know I'm a fraud.
Yep.
I get off stage. I go home. There was no expectation of, because he even goes backstage. He goes, they want an encore. And Elephant's like, I only got the one song on record. He's like, well, then run it back. And we all saw where this is going. He's doing the show, the exact same song again. And then about 5 seconds into it, I don't know, did he just stop cranking it? Like, I don't really understand what happened.
Explained that, should I crank it back up again in between? And Garriddle says, no, there isn't time. Neither of them apparently understand how the cranking works.
Yeah, because he could have cranked during the number and kept it going.
Yeah.
Granted, I was cranking during the number.
What? Oh, God. Are you jerking off to these puppets? What the hell?
Oh, Chan, like you weren't.
All of a sudden, the fucking humans appear. And
it's because real weird.
I have zero context. Like, I don't remember any of this specifically. I was like, oh, right. There are people in this show. Where the fuck were they? Why are they here now? Why weren't they there previously? What is going on?
Okay, so the slowdown happens. The song ends. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, hey, that's a record player in the back playing a record. He's not singing at all. And I'm like, y'all deserve the bad things that happen to you. It's really, and literally they make the point here. The humans come off and they're just like, oh, the deception. Oh, the fraud. And then one of them goes, you know, lip syncing is a legitimate act. Or does the monkey say that? I don't even know. Somebody does in fact put that concept on the table. And then they go, sure, when you say you're lip syncing as the act. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I've seen enough Saturday Night Live musical numbers.
Well, how do you get a knock knock?
Lip syncing to a record is a very high art form, you know?
I know, but you did not tell us that you were lip syncing to a record. You passed yourself off as a real opera singer, Griddle.
I mean,
again, I feel like Jimmy Fallon saw this and was like, oh, when people don't have talent, they can lip sync. And he was like, I'm going to make a career out of that.
But people who do have talent must be super lip syncers.
Cha-ching.
It was a very forgettable piece of television, but They Might Be Giants did a musical number on like a variety show at one point. And of course I watched it because they were on it. I love They Might Be Giants. They're one of the greatest in history.
Agreed.
Put it out there. But what I loved about it was they're doing their number. They're playing like it's, you know, as if it's like a concert, right? They're playing. And then as they're wrapping it up and they're doing like the final chords, the one dude who was on guitars pulls out like clippers, and he clips the strings of all his guitars and just keeps playing it since they were lip syncing. And not once did I go, they are frauds. I don't know. I feel like the crime, I think the reaction to the crime is worse than the crime itself. You were entertained. Therefore, it's an act. Give that gorilla his trophy.
Well, here's the thing. These judgmental fucking humans come by and like the girls just like staring them down. And like, I don't know. I wasn't cranking it, but I had some impure thoughts, you know.
I need to see the other acts to judge whether or not this is the right decision.
If you had to choose, you can just say that Gary Gnu won because that shit was hot.
It was bomb. And to be fair, Gary Gnu does in fact win. Yeah. And this is where I come back around the other side of it being like, well, if it means Gary won with that outright banger of a song, then yeah, I'm back. That's fine. Take it away.
Yeah,
Gary deserved it. He wrote an original song.
It's strong.
And they end up giving the peanuts to Edison anyway, because like, who the fuck put peanuts in the first place?
Only one.
You get a beer with those peanuts and you just chow down and that is heavenly.
I just realized Edison was part of the trophy committee.
Oh, this is part of a long con.
This is how congressional pork works. He's just like, you know,
you watch his feet and as he's walking away and the limp suddenly disappears.
Yeah, because he says, the trophy's nice, let's get some peanuts in there, realizing the only person in all of town, puppet or human or otherwise, that wants peanuts is him. They use their budget on peanuts and he took them. No matter who won, Edison getting the peanuts, this guy. Look out for this guy.
All along. Here's the thing, though. Even for all that, Griddle committed fraud, but there does not appear to be any motivation other than he wants to give his roommate, I'll put air quotes around that, roommate, a wonderful gift that he would be very happy with. So,
except that he wants the trophy.
I mean, it's a fucking silver ball. I don't know that he wants a trophy so much as he wants to make his friend happy.
And they do. They say, Gary Gnu, you get to give a speech. And then as soon as he starts giving a speech, they try to play him off immediately because they do not want to hear him talk anymore. And another good bit. Anything with Gary Gnu is golden. Golden. Now that we've expanded literally 98% of the budget for this show, let's go ahead and do some purchased. I guess we haven't. There's another bit. But still, let's do some purchased cartoons. So you got Bird and Roy.
Hold on.
Bird again.
The bird, his name is Knock Knock.
Is what now?
Knock Knock. He's a woodpecker.
Who's there? Chan, bad timing for this.
Ray?
Ray who?
No.
Rachel, fuck yourself.
Oh, I've heard that one before.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, that's a good one. Okay, so they have nobody's happy where they are. Well, what if I pulled out this weird makeup compact device that has a TV in it and insert a flash drive into it.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's an SD card, not a flash drive. How dare you? I do have a vague recollection of this thing. And I believe that such a device existed in some form in the 80s, like a little television that sort of was of that form factor.
The problem with this, Chan, unless they're time travelers, the SD card wasn't invented until 1999.
You're on a magical goddamn asteroid, Ray.
Is this like when Star Trek invented the iPad?
This is like when your mother went to hell for having you.
Oh, please. Having me was hell enough, Chan. I'm brave enough to admit it. Anyway, let's get to a cheap cartoon from another country. So here we go. This is a cartoon that lasts a little bit longer than it probably should, but it's about a guy who lives in the city and he's trying to grow a flower and it dies. And he's very upset. It's very polluted in the city. It's very smoky. It's very loud. So he moves to a hillside outside of the city, and he plants the flower in the ground. And wouldn't you know it, in these circumstances, it grows up again. So he builds a house around the flower. Fantastic. And then everybody in the city moves to the hill and builds a whole bunch of houses around him on the hill, creating more pollution, killing the flower again, leading to his ultimate unhappiness a second time. The moral of the story, not in my backyard. No affordable housing, please.
Metaphor for white flight and the social justice is the flower that is destroyed by the encroachment of suburbs on urban life. That's all I got. I'm done now.
Well, we got to keep doing the show, Chan. You can't just stop it there.
Bask in the silence.
And that's it. It's fine.
It's fine. Whatever.
It's fine. Let's instead go to the absolute highlight of the entire show, the Gary Gnu show. You knew it was coming. You Gnu it was coming. I love the way he talks. I just wrote here, this is just where I am enamored by this character. He's phenomenal. He has a way about his speech that is very measured, very choppy. And it's just, can we just hear a little bit of Gary Gnu just talking? It made me so happy.
While the surfing film was on, I found this flashlight. Oh, I think flashlights are more fun than regular lights. Don't you?
I just realized I'm Gary Gnu.
you are not entirely wrong there.
About
it for a while.
Word for word, that could very well be something I said on any one of the episodes of this show. That's wild. Anyway, no wonder I love him. He says, let's do a complete news. No Gnus is good Gnus. So we're going to do a Gnus show with no Gnus. Let's do a complete Gnus blackout. And then it happens for real. The lights go out of the studio. Fantastic.
That's a very Muppet Show kind of thing to happen.
It is very much so. I mean, they did their own newsman bit for the Muppet Show. It is not dissimilar than this.
No, it's not.
He goes, let's add some light into this. And then the sound of an airplane taking off happens. He says, flight. No, not flight. I said light. Heck, just show the movie. What movie? He didn't even intro a movie. He just throws to a movie and it's just stock footage of people surfing. And I couldn't...
Just
I couldn't be happier.
Exactly. It's awesome stock footage.
Yeah, it is awesome.
This is the most absurd, nonsensical segment, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. It's just and so he finds a flashlight, and they cut back to him after a little bit too long in surfing, but whatever. He finds the flashlight. He turns it on, but then he loses the battery. Goes dead. It's what good news, what bad news, or what bad news is what we're playing here. At which point he says, okay, I'm sitting here in the dark. The movie is over. It's time to fade to black. And then the lights go 200% and blind him. And I am a pig in poop with joy. I love this segment.
Yeah, I love Gary Gnu. I wish he was still around and would make cameos.
Is he dead? Oh, no.
I think he retired to be with his family, to spend time with his family.
Oh, no. Did you say he went to a farm up north, Gina? I know better. Oh, man. What a bummer. Anyway, big fan. Big fan, Gary Gnu. Guys, if you're out there in Hollywood and you want to bring back Gary Gnu as a thing, give me a call. Apparently, he and I are the same. I would be happy to voice Gary Gnu going forward, but only do it if you like certified bangers and making money. This message brought to you by Ray's management team. And this is where, you know,
I'm mad at it.
I didn't take this to be a horror show, but I got a jump scare as they cut to a giant scary clown.
Okay, now this is kind of like with the humans. I was like, I was pretty sure there's some sort of clown, right? And I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and like there's a clown. The main character is a clown, so I'm like, where is this clown Baxter? I guess, and he shows up. I have no recollection of this clown.
None.
But I have deeply, like, he feels deeply sus to me.
Yes.
And I feel like it's possible the reason, or part of the reason I didn't watch it, like, fully as a kid was because this motherfucker. I don't know what his deal is, but I am not on board.
I think his deal is that he's much like Sharon, who rode the boat over the River Styx. I think it is his job to simply ferry people to and from this magical dimension. Now, he didn't need to take the form of a 6'5", enormously headed clown monster, but much like Pennywise, he chose to.
Yeah, I can see that.
Everything
very upsetting.
It's very upsetting. Happy. No,
it was everything. I was like so excited. This show was so much better than I was expecting. And then all of a sudden this fucking clown shows up, and I don't hate clowns. I'm not like one of those like,
this clown's is a very disturbing clown, though.
This fat fucking clown is a problem.
There's something about the fact that, like, he's the only one, like, everyone else has a little bit of edge to them. Like, Gary Gnu is like, you know, we have the, like, sort of animal-looking dude who's got a little bit of edge to him. And then this clown comes out like a smooth-faced baby, and it's a million times more disturbing.
Yep.
And he seems like a serial killer. Like, when everyone else around him is like, yeah, we're, like, kind of punk rock. I'm Gary Gnu, and I'm doing wacky shit. I'm a gorilla and I'm doing wacky shit. And then this man comes out and he's like, hello children. You're like, oh, that's the guy that murdered a bunch of kids.
A large gentle clown who once worked for MT Promises in an apparently slave-like situation at a circus and lives in fear of ever going back. I don't trust this thing at all.
There's a guy who did not negotiate his contract, if you know what I'm saying. Yikes. Anyway, he's horrifying. But he says, hey, kids, get on the Great Space Coaster. I'm like, that's the setup line. You don't have Nintendo. You don't get on the Great Space Coaster with the scary clown. Come on. Being raised up in the 80s taught me to say no to that exact situation.
Yeah, because you know what could happen is you could be dragged into a lip sync cover of Fame on a cliffside.
Wait, that's all I've ever wanted in life.
I mean, well, in the 80s, it happens all the time. So all you gotta do is find a weird ass clown and it'll happen for you.
No, I was gonna say the worst that could happen is he has Super Pitfall or Bible Adventures for the Nintendo. E.T.
God help us.
E.T. Well, that's 2600, but still. God, I hate this cough. Anyway, moving forward, let's do a song, everybody, because we go say, where are we going to go? We're going to go to the side of a mountain, and we're going to stare at hang gliders and watch stock footage of hang gliders.
Well, here's the thing. Just stock footage, boo. Like, random ass song. I want to dislike it, but kind of like with Kids Incorporated, I was like, oh, you know what? I don't hate this. Like it's got a real 60s Joseph Mason Technicolor Dreamcoat kind of vibe, you know.
It's called the 1970s, Chad.
You know what? Like it all bleeds into like sort of a like a hippie weirdness, like a
definitely yeah. that.
Listen, I like it. This song is great. There's a guy hang gliding. This is one of those things that, like, again, I would imagine if one were stoned while watching it, you could just watch this for 3 hours.
It's true. And we didn't even say what song it is. Chen, could you play a little bit of it for us? Because we got to hear it.
I did say it. I'm going to make it to heaven.
This show is 1981. A lot of diversity in this. There's one woman, one black guy, and a white hippie looking dude.
It's basically this show.
Oh my god, it is basically this show. We're them.
Oh shit, why are we not singing Fame to a random hang glider?
There's still time, Gina.
We don't have a creepy clown behind it. Hey, what's this creepy clown doing in my house?
Listen, we are not living life correctly, I think.
You put Egon to bed right now. Sorry, Gina. Fame is like an ultimate banger. Fame is one of the most ultimate banger songs of all time. I'll put it out there. And so you can't go wrong if you just throw rando singing Fame in your show. Honestly, I wish that we had done this episode years ago to see Gina put it in an episode of Regular Show. Don't think it wasn't going to happen. It could have happened.
I mean, for all we know, there is an episode where they sing Fame.
Yeah.
True. But this is where the moral conundrum of the episode happens for me. Because aren't they not lip syncing? Are they not lip syncing Fame?
Are you expecting them to sing live on the side of a mountain outside for a kids' TV show?
But earlier they went through a big deal about saying, unless you tell us specifically you are lip syncing, it is morally corrupt.
But this is still them singing. That like you realize that people didn't sing live on TV back then, right?
But then they should have not made a big deal about videos, when Riddle like, the gorilla did it.
Video.
Yeah,
that wasn't him. These people actually did the singing. They just recorded it in a studio so that it didn't sound like just wind buffeting their faces.
So this performance, was in fact lip syncing, but they did not tell us it was lip syncing. But yet they were the ones morally outraged earlier, but now it's fine. That's wrong.
We can move on now.
I'm very upset.
The next cartoon thing, which is
Hasbro.
A lion dude.
Hasbro ad.
I mean, yeah, it's brought to you by Hasbro. Great.
And then we get this felt French. I can't tell you it was French. It felt French.
You could just look it up on Wikipedia.
Was it Italian? I can't do that.
That's why I loved it so much. That must be why I felt a kinship with it.
I thought this was, here's the deal. It's good. It's weird.
What? It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's like basic ass international animation from the 80s.
Listen, yeah, okay. The fact that he's like, the animator is it's fucking great. The animator is erasing and drawing in real time. And this little, I love when a little cartoon man gets tortured.
Also, can we talk about the enormous fucking titties on that?
I have multiple notes about the nippled titties on the Sphinx I can't even explain it, but it's like if you drew a line across the screen. And then in the middle of it, you sort of like drew the outline of like a human with a giant nose because it's boomer shit. And then you just kind of animated that doing things. And it was like that style the whole way. He walks to the Sphinx in Egypt and it has nipply boobs poking at him.
Okay. Like, it's insanity. Chan, do you want to explain? Did you not ever watch fucking...
I've never watched fucking Gina, sorry.
Cheese, Fritz the Cat.
the Never Ending Story with the booby ladies. guarding the city, and they open their eyes and burn you alive if you're not worthy.
Wait, there's booby ladies in Neverending Story?
Oh my god.
You gotta watch Neverending Story.
You gotta go watch that again.
Go watch Princess Bride while you're at it.
I'm not the
person we know that has not seen Princess Bride. Don't you bring that old, at this point, old joke inside reference to this show. How
can you be dudes and not remember the booby ladies? I remember them in the chat right now.
It's, I remember weird so little
that
so
it's
little
happening memory. Here on the Great Space Coaster.
No, because it's based on a real statue that has boobs.
I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware that there are thousands of statues with titties on them showing up with turkey at, like, this is ice cubes on your nipples kind of titties.
And it is super
disturbing
pokey.
In a super children's pokey. Cartoon context.
Yeah, didn't need to draw it that way. Like, it's like, oh, the character
disagree.
But you wrote the character.
Wait, so you're saying we should censor art? You're saying we should not free the nipple and we should censor art. Okay, so you're both right wing nuts.
Welcome back to MR Ray. I have important things to say about cartoon titties.
Hold on, I gotta show you my nuts, which are on the hanging to the right. They're right wing.
Listen, Gina, obviously me and Chan are super prudes, and you knew this a long time ago.
You're complaining about a cartoon pencil drawn nipple from the side, so clearly there's something wrong with you guys.
Yes. I like my cartoon porn in color and preferably soundtrack with Sammy Hagar music, just like any red-blooded American.
Are you just talking about Fritz the Cat again?
No, I'm talking about goddamn heavy metal. What are you doing?
Oh, I do love me some heavy metal. Not Heavy Metal 2000. That one was not very good.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Heavy Metal. Oh, what a great movie. I'm just going to enjoy remembering watching Heavy Metal again.
We should watch
that. Anyway, I would say, I actually wrote here, the audio of this cartoon really sells it. It's really, I mean, it's there's no words. It's just indistinct. Like, if you're watching The Sims talk, right? That's basically what this dude is.
That is...
Was that Italian? Was that actually fluent Italian? Gina, I actually need a judgment call on this.
No, I love a good gibberish shriek. I love a good gibberish bit, gibberish shrieking. I appreciate that they made fun of whites instead of, because when it first started, I was like, oh no, is this going to be, are they going to do the Team America World Police Middle Eastern gibberish? But no, it was just Italians.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was a little light racism with the walk like an Egyptian walk that he does at one point.
Except that it doesn't use like any stereotypically Egyptian music.
Yeah, he was clearly just doing a dance of Prince's protege.
Yeah, it was the same dance Elon Musk did, and if I'm gonna ride his butt for it, I'm gonna ride this cartoon guy's butt for it.
I'm not gonna lie, that posing on the red carpet was the closest I've ever come to feeling bad for him.
Wow,
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't
know the story either.
It is okay. I guess I'll put yet another thing in the chat for you guys to look at.
Oh, all right. Okay. So it's fun. He gets bonked through the floor by a mummy, and it is this is like he's stuck in this world trying to get through it while he's being murdered and tortured by an animator repeatedly. It's very much akin to this wonderful thing called the Amazing Digital Circus. That I just recently saw for the first time. That is absolutely incredible, and it's free on YouTube, and everyone should go watch it. Robert Clark Chan, do you have any thoughts on that?
I have so many thoughts about it, none of which will escape my lips.
My lips.
For fear that my child will hear it and restart all of his gibberish conversations with me about said product.
Yeah, I can't believe you showed that to your kid. It's really like
no
avant-garde cartooning.
Someone at school did, and now
so you know what? I apologize, but you did let him watch it 900 times in a row after he saw it at school.
I mean, after that, like it's the Pandora's box has been opened. What are you going to do?
close the box, obviously. What are we talking about? Yeah. That's what you do with Pandora's boxes, Chan. You close them. Hello. Somebody doesn't read the classics. Am I
leave
right?
Hope inside. That's the only thing we left in there. Wait.
I think Gina just got us to look at Twitter for the first time in ages.
Are you watching it though? Tell me you don't kind of feel.
No, he's an asshole and he's a stupid, cringy mother effer.
Of course he is. Look at how it makes me so uncomfortable.
I really hope they use one of the pictures of him standing awkwardly with that stupid, goofy smile in between the idiotic poses, because that captures who he is better than anything else. What a piece of garbage. What an absolute
monster. So uncomfortable. Chan, are you watching it?
So there's a final joke in the Great Space Coaster.
No, hold up. Real quick, Chan, before we get there. Last thing with this wonderful cartoon, because it ends with him disintegrating. He literally evaporates to nothingness at the end. Yeah. And I'm left with questions.
It's a metaphor for all of us. We only exist while we're watching this show.
And we only exist in pain while watching this show. And yet we keep striving. I mean, I don't know. It was artsy. I couldn't believe they just murdered him at the end. Like, that was a choice. Anyway, Chan, let's talk about this hilarious joke, because I also have thoughts.
Oh, I bet you're glad to see me, aren't you, Garriddle?
Oh, don't bet on it.
Oh, I can prove it. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Yeah.
Yahoo!
No need to shout, cowboy. It's just little old me.
That's the problem.
Oh, when the bird does knock knock jokes, you think it's hilarious. When I do it, you get upset. This is a double standard.
Only in that the bird has talent.
Wow. Wow.
This bird is good at it and funny.
It's biting. It's cutting, Chan. I love the fact that this episode of Great Space Coaster chooses a knock-knock joke as its walk-off. This is their walk-off shot. This is their light pole on a knock-knock joke.
I love it. Going out on a high note.
You never see that.
Going out on a high
note. And then that's the end of the show. And did I do a double take when I saw this was a Sunbow production? Right. Not very long before G.I. Joe and Transformers, etc.
I will say that I tried to figure out if these three humans actually know how to play their instruments. I'm reasonably certain that the woman knows how to play guitar, although she wasn't actually playing the song that they were singing, so it's possible that she doesn't.
That's weird. She's
really good at making her fingers look like.
Chen, what song was she playing? Stairway to Heaven? Or
the reprise, the reprise.
It's the Great Space Coaster. Get on board on the Great Space Coaster.
I'm pretty sure the dude isn't playing piano. Hard to tell because it's one of those pianos where you can't see his hands. So,
no.
And then the drummer is kind of like, yeah, he's not really on any sort of beat. So,
oh, no.
They probably don't, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah. And then it's a Sunbow production.
Nope.
Sunbow, ladies and gentlemen. We love Sunbow. Honestly, so final verdict. You two loved this show.
Surprised how much I enjoyed it.
I was milquetoast at first, and then we hit the Gary Gnu segment. This might be the greatest program we've ever watched in the history of this show. Take that, Batman, the animated series. You didn't have Titty Sphinx on your show.
That's very true.
I mean, you don't know. There's probably a bad guy in Gotham named Titty Sphinx.
Real ineffective.
Yeah, not great. I mean, all you can do is really poke your eyes out.
No, he only comes out when it's real cold is the thing.
I mean, it's dangerous in Gotham when it gets cold.
Yeah.
He actually did a tandem with Mr. Freeze once. Almost made it work.
Mm.
Almost. It was very close. 50-50 shot, but it turns out Batman actually won the day. Who's got pluggables? Chan, you do a wrestling show.
I have Lunchables.
Gina has Lunchables.
Lead and sodium.
I know. I just read that too, and I was so sad.
I was sad about that. Oh, so let's keep it real, like the Great Space Coaster. Let's see here. Hey, Chan, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Yeah.
You have a joke.
You're just stealing the joke?
Yes.
Yahweh? Oh, my God.
Yahweh is our Lord and Savior. Go to church, you cretin.
It's the Great Space Coaster. Get on board on the Great Space Coaster. We'll explore a comet ride, a fantasy, to a place where dreams lie fast and free.
With new friends and new things to see,
we'll spin you through the galaxy on the Great Space Coaster. Oh, on the Great Space Coaster, off we go.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures.
But Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like...
Is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.